Okay, in the last session, we talked about the steps you can take to get healed in the glory light. In this session, we're going to talk about steps you can take to get your family, friends, loved ones, co-workers, people in your church, people all around you, healed in their soul of the wounds that are afflicting them. How many of you have difficult, troubling, contending, striving, jealous, angry, upset people around you? And how many of those people are actually kicking at your face? You can get them healed in the light. Amen. Do you know why they're acting that way? Now you know after today, right? It is because of the wounds in their soul. Now from this moment on, you're going to be able to have a whole different attitude about other people, about difficult people. You're going to be able to have a whole new compassion for them, a whole new level of patience for them, because you're going to understand that they've been acting that way because of the wounds in their soul, just like you were acting that way because the wounds in your soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to what 1 Thessalonians 5 says in verse 13 and through 15. I'm just skimming through it. It says this: be at peace amongst yourselves. Help and give your support to the weak souls. And be very patient with everyone, always keeping your temper. See that none of you repays another with evil for evil, but always aim to show kindness and seek to do good to one another and everyone. From now on, when you're dealing with somebody who you really want to kick their teeth in, you can have a new level of understanding of why they're acting like that. It's because of their soul. And now, since you know that, you are called to be not impatient and not losing your temper, but to show kindness, to do them good, to not return evil for their evil by speaking against them or gossiping about them, but to show, quote, help and to give your support to the weak souls. People who are hurting you or speaking against you are doing so out of their wounded soul. Okay, hurting people hurt people. That's the way it is. Okay, but now when someone hurts you, you can have a whole different response. You can understand why they're acting that way, because they are so hurt. They're hurt puppies big time. Okay? And now you can help them get healing in their soul. How do you pass on the healing light of Jesus to other people's soul? Number one is this: get healed in your soul first. Okay, because remember what it says and what Jesus said in John 14. The prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me that's in common with him, so he has no power over me. You can't begin to have dominion and a level of authority to release the healing light on people if there's something in your soul that's in common with their soul, because the demonic will be all over it. Okay? You need to learn how to get the healing for yourself first, and then you'll begin to have authority. Now, let's say you have a child or a spouse that you really, really want to start praying for because they're in desperate need. Well, then use your faith. Ask God and say, God, I really want to start giving healing to this person. Show me right away the wounds in my soul that are connected with them so I can begin to have dominion. Okay? Work on yourself first. Get this revelation down pat to where you understand it, where you're flowing in it, where you're confident in how to apply the light to your soul. And when your soul is healed and there's nothing in you that's in common with the person you want to pray for, then you're going to have dominion. And guess what? They're going to get healed.
Amen.
Amen? Number two, repentance must come first. Just like how we taught you guys, it's what you need to do for other people that you're releasing healing on. And what was the first thing we told you to do? To spend a focused amount of time repenting and forgiving. Why? Because every wound inside of you was created by sin, right? Well, it's the same with your peoples around you. The wounds inside of them were created by sin too. So in order to get the wounds healed, you have to spend amount of time releasing repentance and forgiveness on their behalf. Now, how many of you have people in your life that couldn't give a rip about God? Or they kind of have a little bit of God in them, but they're really not totally serious. you know, they're really not reading or worshiping or praying, and they really aren't really interested in even hearing about this revelation, much less trying to spend any time with God or even, you know, soaking in the light or anything like that. How many of you have people like that? Okay, so how many of you know that those people, if you went to them and say, look, I'm going to release healing for your soul, so the first thing you need to do is repent. How do you think they'd take that news? They'd probably tell you to take a long walk of a short pier, right? So what do you do when you got people like that? Honestly, you know what you do? You repent for them. Okay, because in John 20:23, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said this, if you forgive the sins of anyone, and they are forgiven then. And if you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained. Jesus gave us the right to intercede for people and release repentance and forgiveness for them. He knew exactly what he was doing because he knew that some people just couldn't do it for themselves or they wouldn't want to. You know, even in the Old Testament, this was possible. You remember what Job did, right? In chapter 1 of Job, it said, when a period of fasting had run its course, Job would send for his children to have them purified. Early in the morning, he would make a sacrifice, a burnt offering, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And that was his regular custom, it said. And this is the New Testament, and Jesus has given us the right to do it now. Holy cow, we need to make it our regular custom to intercede for people with repentance and forgiveness. That is part of our job. It is part of our job. And I'll tell you exactly why. Let me tell you something. Some of the people that you're going to want to release healing for, they can't repent for themselves. They can't. Because their will, their ability to choose to repent, is under the control of their soul wounds and under the control of the enemy. Okay, remember, the will is part of the soul, right? Mind, will, and emotions. Okay, remember that wounds that are formed in people can control your thoughts. They can control your will. They can control your emotions. Remember what Paul said, I do the thing I don't want to do because of the sin nature that's fixed and operating in my soul, right? So the wounds in somebody's soul can actually control the way they think about God. They control their will, their ability to choose to repent. And check this out. Because those wounds in their soul were created by sin, the demonic is on it. And what do you think the demonic is doing? The demonic can then control your will. Do you think the demonic is going to allow someone like that to repent? No, the demonic is actually controlling someone's will and preventing them from wanting to repent for themselves. Let me prove that to you through scripture. Okay, in 2 Timothy verses 25 to 26, it says this, those who oppose us, we must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses. And now listen to this part. And escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. You hear that? Some people just cannot repent for themselves because the wounds in their soul created by sin are controlling them. And because they were created by sin, the enemy also has the legal right to control their will, their ability to repent. And according to the scripture, the enemy now has those people. He has taken them captive to do his will. Do you get it? That is 2 Timothy 2, verses 25 through 26. Some people just can't repent. Their will is under the control of the enemy. That's why we have to repent for them.
That's right.
And Jesus has given us the legal right to do so. Hallelujah. Stop getting mad at your rebellious loved ones. Start repenting for them. Then you know what will happen? 2 Timothy 2 will come to pass in their life. You start repenting for them. It will cause the demonic to have to release from them. And then their will be freed up. And then they will be able to, quote, receive the free gift of repentance and come to their senses because they'll no longer be under the trap of the enemy. This has got to be some really good news for a bunch of people in here. I know it was good news for my mom. Because, hey, I was under the control of the enemy, and I couldn't choose to do right or wrong. He had control of my will, so she repented for me. Amen? Okay, so the way you start the process of loosing light on other people's souls is by first repenting for them. Number three, once you do that, then you can begin soaking them in the glory light. You can lay hands on people that are around you. You can send light to somebody who's in the next room. You can send light to somebody who's in the next country. Okay? According to scripture and according to science, we can do all these things. Let me explain. First, we know that Mark 16 says that we can lay hands on people, lay hands on the sick, and they'll get well. According to science, light can travel through a medium, and it can also travel through space. Let's talk about the medium first. Your body can be the medium in which light waves flow out onto others. Okay? Science has already proved that. Does it say that in scripture? Listen very carefully. Remember the Luke 11 scripture about your eye being the lamp of the body? And when your whole body is filled with light, then your eye or your soul will be sound and fulfilling its office? The last verse in that scripture says this. If then your entire body, there's the medium that light flows through, your entire body is illuminated, having no dark part, it will be wholly bright with light as with a lamp with its bright rays gives you light. Do you see that? According to this scripture, when you're filled with the light and you begin to get healed of the darkness from the soul wounds inside of you, the more you will be filled with the light until finally you'll get to the point where you will become the, quote, the lamp with its bright rays that gives you light. What does a lamp do? You turn it on and it sends out the light. When your body is totally filled, your body becomes the medium in which the light waves that are inside of you can flow out of you. That's biblical and that's science. Okay, now listen to me. When you become that lamp with its bright rays that gives out light, that's when you will begin to transfer the healing light that heals your soul onto other people's soul around you in your life. And I want to tell you, we are all called to do this. Listen to this proof in Matthew 5. Jesus says this, you, and he's talking to us now. He says, now you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. You are not being healed in your soul by the light of Jesus so that you can be put under a peck measure. You are being healed in your soul by the light of Jesus so you can, quote, become the lamp with its bright rays that gives out light. And according to this Matthew 5 scripture, you will not be put under a peck measure, but you'll be put on a lampstand where you can, quote, give light to all in the house. Amen. The house of God, your house, your family, your loved ones, your spouse, your children. Now check this out. That scripture says that when you become the lamp that's put on the lampstand, that it'll, quote, give light to all in the house. I looked up that word house in the Greek to see what it means. You are not going to believe what it translates into. This is totally, totally cool. Check this out. It literally, that word house, literally translates into the phrase, the inmates of a house, the family. Check it out. Why is this scripture referring to your family, your loved ones, the people in the house of God, all the people you know as inmates? Well, what's an inmate? An inmate is a person that's confined to a hospital or a prison. Because that's what the people in your life are, man. They are inmates. They are imprisoned by the soul wounds that are inside of them. They are sick, confined to a hospital because of the wounds that are in their soul, eating them up, eating up and destroying their life. But when you get healed in your soul and you become the lamp with its bright rays that gives out light and you get put on the lampstand where God is going to put you, then you will give healing rays of light to people's soul. All the inmates of your house are going to be healed in the light you're giving off. Seriously, we're called to do it. Not be under peck measure, but be on the lampstand. Did you know that recently Japanese scientists proved that the human body gives off visible light? They proved it. Here's what would be so cool. It'd be so cool to go to those same scientists and have somebody that hasn't started getting their soul healed in the light of Jesus and have them test them, right? And then after they get their soul healed totally and they're completely filled with light and they become the lamp with its bright rays that gives out light, to send them back in for another test. And I bet you that the increase of the amount of light that they release would be dramatic. Scripture says it would happen like that. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Okay.